joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. We talk to him every Wednesday here on the Midday Show. We love when he joins us, and he joins us right now, Andrew Brandt from the MMQB, the Business Sports Podcast, and contributor to The Athletic. Andrew, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys, as always.
Well, we just read off this what the NFLPA tweeted out yesterday regarding their filing that grievance against the league for that unilateral policy on the anthem protest. They want to sit down and, broker an agreement together before going to litigation. Do you see that as being something that can be solved prior to a season? And when these this is instituted to the league with the anthem issue?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Ray Rice. After that, they instituted this new conduct policy, and everyone was like, okay, great, and they're going to include the union. They're going to figure out something, and of course, they ignored the union. And new conduct policy was six-game baseline and paid leave and exempt list and all that, that the union was so upset they filed a grievance and actually lost it. Now we have round two. The owners figure out they need an anthem policy, debate amongst themselves, put it out there, and, like, ignore the union. We'll just do it our way. And now the union says, hey, we're going to file a grievance about that unless you talk to us. And I think the league's saying, yeah, we'll talk to you. But it's too late. I mean, it just shows you this continued lack of trust between the union and the league. They only talk through lawyers and grievances. And here we are again. The NFL ignored them, put out their anthem policy, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, what do you think, maybe they do sit down and they say, all right, you're doing this, but we want something in return. Like, what would you think would be maybe a bargaining chip that they could get back, meaning the players' union?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they get a tweak of the rule out of this. That's really where I think it would go. And maybe it's so loose. What if, Malcolm Jenkins holds his hand up in the air, his fist? Is that a violation?
Right.
Little more specificity. What if you have four guys that want to stay in the locker room? Do they have to stay in and all 50 other guys come out? I mean, they got to figure all that out because it was a clumsy policy to begin with. Maybe that's where they go here.
Okay, so broad language, getting more specific.
Yeah, you're not going to get concessions that mean anything. No, I mean, they don't have to include the union, as I understand. I mean, the rule was there before the union. Are not collectively bargained to begin with.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Oh, so they did have that ability to make that unilateral decision. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's their game policy. It's game day policy.
Okay. Andrew Brandt joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Andrew, obviously, a big story that broke yesterday with the posting on Instagram regarding LeSean McCoy and the mother of a kid that he has, and this whole incident of her getting beat up the assertion that he had somebody do the beating and to try and get jewelry that's back. And it's a really ugly situation that's going to require some vetting to find out what's really going on here. How does the NFL handle that in the meantime as the countdown to training camp's only 2 weeks away for most teams? And then couple that with his past history of some questionable behavior to begin with.
Yeah, well, my point of contact, I mean, I'm putting myself in the Bills' position. Obviously, we talked a lot about getting these calls this time of year. And first point of contact would be the agent, trying to figure that out. What's going, Drew Rosenhaus, how did this happen? What's the information we need to know? Drew's in a little bit of a tough spot. He's got to share what he can with the team, but he's got to protect his client. And then once the facts come out, police reports, everything, then we got to figure out discipline. Is that going to come from the league or the team? We see that what so often happens is it's the team that defers to Roger. It's like discipline all comes from Goodell now. It's like we never see it from the teams anymore. So we'll see if this is any different.
Now, Andrew, real quick on that same thing, because you said that Drew Rosenhaus has to protect his client, who's LeSean McCoy, but also kind of be up front with the team. Is this one of those situations where the team goes to the player or through the agent and says, tell me everything we need to know now, like a lawyer will say to his client? I don't want any surprises.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, again, in my role, I would always deal with the agent. And that's why you need good relationships with the agents to try to build these for times like this, to try to be on the same page. It wouldn't be my role to deal with the player. Now, that could be the coach. That could be a position coach. That could be a player engagement guy. And the player may, silent up here, and I get it. But, this is where relationships with agents, and I'm sure they have a good one with Drew, who's got players on every team in the league, are so important.
Hey, Andrew, if this is proven true and LaShawn McCoy is linked in some way, shape, or form to this horrible incident, has he played his last game?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't see a ban from the NFL or even a year-long suspension, but you start to talk about Ray Rice, right?
Yeah.
He was cleared to play, and no one signed him since.
Right.
McCoy seems to be a little more shelf life left compared to Rice at the time. So if I had to say, the answer is no, but it's going to obviously deter interest and money.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. What's going to, this is another one of those situations that's just not good all around.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I saw the article that you wrote on SI.com. It came out yesterday. Great article, by the way, how the NFL and NBA contracts differ and what the NFL players can do to change it. We've often kind of looked at the leagues and said, well, the NBA Players Association's got the best situation. How can the NFL players kind of look at what they're doing and maybe take some of that and apply it to their craft?
Well, I point out every year this time when you know, the NFL players are dwarfed by these NBA contracts, it's not so much even the number. I mean, I know Chris Paul, $160 million, $150 million, LeBron. The question is the strength. Those are real numbers. And when NFL players make $60, $70, $80, $100 million, it's not real. It's 1 or 2 years. So two ways. One, you need leverage of the big star players, like Cousins, but even bigger, to sort of forge these new paths, like fully guaranteed contracts. Cousins did it, but for only 3 years. Maybe Aaron Rodgers gets 4 years, or God, even 5 years, a real guaranteed contract, like an NBA contract. The other part is the union part, to really demand better collective guarantees. Right now we have minimum spending, but it's loose. It's only looked at every 4 years, not every year. It's only 89%. It should be like 97% or something like that. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I think this is something the union and agents have to fix. At one time, believe it or not, NBA players didn't have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
Yeah, well, check out the article. It's on SI.com. It was posted yesterday, and it's a great article to check out and really kind of get some insight on both leagues and what's different and what can be changed and what maybe can't be changed. Andrew, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you next week.